Hello, everybody. Welcome to Rack Addicts in the Rain. Rack Addicts where we don't get egged. Rack Addicts After Hours, of course, that's what we're doing. If you're not understanding what I'm on about being egged, listen to our last episode. It's quite fun. Either way, we're in cars, COVID-friendly. We're more than 2 meters apart, and there's also windows between us, so we're safely podcasting so that you can't stop listening to us. Isn't that a pleasure? I'm joined by Pete, by Telmo. My name is Ben, and we're going to take you through some stuff that enters our sphere of knowledge every week. But first, Pete and Telmo, what have you been up to? Any more tales from the loft? I know we've had a couple of those the last 2 weeks, Pete, but are there any dusty corners that you've visited recently?
No, unfortunately, I've abandoned the loft for now. I've been mainly in the store, doing lots of store stuff. So I've been fighting with quite a few different instruments, trying to get them straightened out. We've got a few bits and pieces.
Some Prophet Sixes doing some strange things, didn't you?
Yes, that was, and it's still remaining doing some strange things.
no progress
basically
there.
One of the rotor encoder for the arpeggio was that particular problem was skipping around all over very spuriously. So you sort of try and select it, and you think, oh, it's worked, and then suddenly, after you take your hand off the encoder, it jumps to some other position. So unfortunately, that's going to have to be sorted out. And then I had a tussle with a Nord Stage 3 today.
Oh, yeah. What did it do to you?
Well, it was bricked.
Ah,
so,
problems.
Yes. So it didn't matter what I did to it to try and resurrect it, try to load the latest OS. Seemed to be going well. And then when it comes to reboot, it just completely locks up. So again, I failed miserably with that one as well. So that seems to be the story of my life this week.
Quite a grappling.
Yes, trying to repair various keyboards and trying to get them going again.
Has that Moog One been sent off?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes, that eventually has gone off, and hopefully when it returns, it will be permanently fixed rather than...
not a thorn in our backside for years to come.
No, not at all.
Perfect.
You're a man in a journey.
Voyage of synth repair. Telmo, you've been at the shop as well, but any other fun stuff from your week? You've been at uni as well, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. I've been doing both things. Work has been quite a steady one. It's actually quite busy, even with the store shut. I mean, me and obviously a fellow Andy that everyone knows about, you guys know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
We did an absolute... Yeah, we do. Well, I managed to spend a whole afternoon with him yesterday uncabling and just trying to figure out what the hell was going on in one of the rooms, one of the monitor rooms that we have.
A rat's nest in there, wasn't it?
Wow, I think you were there, you saw. It was insane.
I didn't have to wade through it. Really.
Yeah. Yeah, I could literally swim in a pool of cables. I've got pictures, and they're just great. It was great fun. I got to catch up with Andy whilst doing the tedious job of coiling them. So that was part of my week. The other part of my week is obviously related to university. I've been keep on doing some production stuff, writing stuff, going to lectures. Unfortunately, I won't be able to go to presential lectures. Although universities are open, they're not opening for lectures at all. So you can still go in and visit the library and that sort of stuff and talk to your teachers, but not really for lectures.
I suppose that makes a bit of sense trying to avoid the old crowds.
Absolutely. But yeah, it's been a kind of like an average one. I've been struggling with a piece of software, Sibelius. Giving me a bit of a headache.
The Microsoft Word of sheet music.
I know. Well, there's this thing that I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to do it with a free version of Sibelius, which is not ideal. But I never thought that you would not be able to export a score as a PDF, you know, in with the free version. I was astonished.
That's why they just try and get you to buy it.
I know.
Damn,
but if you guys
have any
ideas of like PDF printers or like anything that I got, any programs.
Lots of screenshots.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, that could
work.
I'm
pretty sure
actually.
There is a pretty good free online, like web-based sheet music writing thing. I don't know what the proper word is.
Oh, there is, yeah.
I can't remember what it is, but maybe have a bit of a Google about, see if you can find any online ones.
Yeah, I've got one. It's called Flat, so I suppose I can just export as MIDI. Anyway, I'm just rambling on and present you with my current thoughts, but that's pretty much it for me.
Chris, one.
Couldn't you get what file can you actually save your work in this free copy?
Yeah, but it's in a Sibelius, so a .sib file.
So that's a unique format to them.
That's right. I can only either do that or MIDI.
Okay.
So if I find a program that allows me to import something in MIDI, then and then obviously see the score, then yeah, happy days.
You can print scores from Logic, but it's not easy.
No.
It's a bit of a nightmare, to be honest. Not the best workaround. I had a thought on my way over here. We all work in retail. Yeah. Capitalism is inescapable in some parts of the world, definitely here. And I've definitely mentioned this before. I'm a big fan of buying lasting things.
Okay.
So I was wondering if I could pick your brains, as I'm pretty sure I have before. Cast your minds beyond to something that you bought a very long time ago, but you still have, that has served you very well. Because I find that incredibly satisfying to just know this thing has been with you. You've been through so much together. Your bond is so strong. Etc. But I feel that about a couple of things. None of them are very interesting, to be honest, which is why I'm hoping you've got better ideas than me. But what I've taken to doing is figuring out when I bought them, be it from a receipt. An email receipt is normally the easiest one. Or, you know, trying to figure out by what events happened when, asking the family and things. But I actually put the anniversary of things that I own in my calendar. So it rolls around. Oh, I've had that watch for 8 years and I feel lost when I'm not wearing it. That kind of thing. I think that's really nice. And in a world where we're so quick to dispose of things, we really should be buying once and looking after our possessions. But have either of you got any standout things of that nature? What's been with you for a really long time, still going strong?
I would say there's a couple of things, and one, I don't think I mentioned this before when we've had these type of conversations, but that would be my Leatherman.
Mm. Nice one. That's the perfect item.
So the current one I've got, and I can't remember exactly what model it is, but I've had that since 1995, I want to say.
Wow.
It's a year older than me.
Oh dear. Sorry about that.
Oh no.
And so it's been utilised and carried with me virtually all the time since. I don't always have it, but...
Is that the one that you have on you in the shop sometimes?
Yes, that's the one.
Nice.
Yes, so that one. And I have exactly the same model in a blister pack, sealed, ready to go if that one ever gets lost or expires or...
That's brilliant.
...disintegrates. So I'll always... have one to hand, hopefully.
Oh, excellent. A trusty, faithful tool.
Yes. Wow. It's been a lifesaver on many occasions.
Even if it's not literally, it has the capacity to literally
be
a
lifesaver.
Yeah, I suppose
so. You could do all sorts of surgical procedures with it, as I expect. But no, just having a selection of reasonably good quality, you know, you've got a posi drive or a crosshead, I don't know, because there's always different posi drive and... crossheads, Phillips.
Posi drive, crosshead, and Phillips. They are different, and I don't know why.
Yes, exactly. So it's one of those.
one of the ones.
And a couple of bladed screwdrivers. But and one of the main things, and the thing that I use most of the time, is the snipe nose pliers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've got the wire cutters there as well. So generally, on the whole, it's just got me out of a lot of situations where I just haven't got any other tools to hand, and that's... allowed me to proceed with whatever activity that I was attempting.
They could be heirloom items as well, those, can't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. What about you, Tomo? I feel like instruments are often a great candidate for this kind of thing.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's hard to think of something that I have for so long, especially dated to 1995. But there's a couple of things that I have for quite a long time. And that is my trustworthy SM58. which I've been carrying around for years. I think I must have bought it about 6 or 7 years ago, which is not a crazy amount of time. But it's like Pete said, it just, you know, if you always carry it, anytime, you know, you're going to rehearsals, you're going to, you know, meeting people, university or whatever, if I'm doing a gig, it's just, it's literally, it is a lifesaver, and it just works so well in so many different applications. So yeah, that's probably my musical one. The other one is probably the jacket I'm wearing right now.
Oh yeah, nice.
This Helly Hansen jacket that I found in a charity shop about, again, 5 years ago, I think. I mean, you can call me, you know, I don't know, it's maybe a bit weird, but I wear it almost every day, especially in rainy England. Well, mostly in rainy England. It's just, it gets me through and keeps me warm through through a lot of days. So thank you.
Thinking about even just buying from charity shops, being a bit more eco-friendly in certain ways, but all this old items that just continue to serve really well, that makes me all warm and fuzzy inside. Aww. Just like your jacket. In this horrible weather, you may be able to hear the gentle plink plonk. Obviously, it's England. It's raining on the roofs of our cars.
Yeah, I can hear it.
Don't mind that. It's just an artifact of where we are today. I reckon that can bring us into some synthy boy times. Chaos Devices, XAOC. I've heard as Zaok before, which I'm pretty sure is wrong, but it's Chaos Devices anyway. One new module, and one that they spoke about before, that is now released. Place your bets on the pronunciation. I'm going to go Catavice.
Okay, thoughts? I did have a little bit of a reference before we came out, but I'm still going to hose it up. I'm going to go for Katowice.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, it's a Polish brand. So
exactly.
It's a Polish city.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course it is. Yeah.
If you say it with a Polish accent, Katowice or Katowice.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's only because I looked up the phonic pronunciation on Wikipedia.
Well, here goes me with the Americanization-y
Caravice.
Type the Katowice from Zaok Devices, the 1978 stereo variable band isolator. It's a bit of a weird left field module, this one. Could be quite fun, but enables multiband compression, interesting EQ type stuff. Bit niche. What do you think, Pete?
It's quite interesting. I don't know if you've watched any of the videos.
I had a quick peek through the kind of the spec and the recommended sort of patching ideas, but you probably know more than me.
Yeah, so what I liked about it was that obviously you could use it as just as an EQ as such or a graphic, but it was the way that they were using it where they were modulating it. So you could modulate all three simultaneously.
Mm.
So it was the movement and texture that you could put into audio with it.
Nice one.
That's pretty cool.
If it was used in a static form, yeah, it's sort of interesting. But it's once you get the old CVs in there and start actually manipulating it. So, you know, just using, I don't know, a multi LFO or several LFOs to actually manipulate each frequency.
It's a super important tool to have in whatever rig you're using. It doesn't matter if it's a pedal board or a rack modular. Just have, you know, a decent EQ in there, and it will save your life.
Yeah, it's actually something you don't often see in modular, really. You'll get filter banks, which can definitely be just an EQ, which is probably the least interesting way to use them. But they're not actually that common, so it's cool to see more of this kind of spectral stuff coming out.
Yes, and I haven't put down the other module because I'm slightly confused. So the other module was the Sarajevo, which is the...
another Eastern European city.
That is the delay.
Is it? Is that the name?
Yes.
Oh. I thought it was something else. Okay.
Unless I'm going wrong, and I did do the good.
Oh no, you're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, I don't know why I totally remembered it as something else. This was announced a good while ago, but now must be available kind of at the same time. But that's an analog delay, but it's syncable.
Which is quite nice. It's sort of interesting. Not quite as gripping as this. Mm. I mean, this one I'm actually sort of toying with whether it might be something worthwhile getting. Because, as I say, it was just the...
Well, it's the silver. It will fit in with your colour scheme.
There's that element as well. But no, it's the... It was the modulation possibilities that really got my sort of attention going on this particular one. They were doing some quite interesting things. And that was the actual Chaos Devices...
Oh, their channel.
Their own video on their channel, so to speak. So not an inexpensive module. We've got £229.
Yeah, it could be a lot worse. It is stereo as well, which is nice.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, definitely good to have, especially if you're doing droney ambient stuff. Movement, definitely key.
Oh, yeah.
Just to keep that sonic interest. I have recommended this before, I think, but if you are of the modular persuasion, you want a bit of a news feed, I go on modulargrid.net and actually just filter by newest and see what pops up. You see a few prototypes and things coming up. More recently, probably 5 minutes more recently than those Chaos Devices modules. Another Instruo. This one, I believe, is pronounced Psyche. Mm-hmm. S-A-I with an umlaut C-H. This is a quad oscillator. I believe it's sawtooth, but might have some squarey bits on it. It has a single Voltproctive in, or you can have a Voltproctive for each voice. But if you just go for the single, it's got some interesting diatonic quantization-y stuff. So if you don't have the Harmony or Harmonic, the Instruo quantizer, you can still get some interesting stuff out of it. Just watch the DivKid video. He always does it better than any of us will. But it sounds really, really cool. And actually, might be quite an interesting one for you to take a look at with your more powerful theory knowledge, Telmo. Quantizer is just going to take a random or... microtonal pitch feed. It could just be an up and down, just smooth,
unpitched
thing.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
And then you can constrain it to a scale. But the Harmonaig is pretty cool. You give it one pitch source, and it has four outputs. But it does all this. It's just touted as a diatonic quantization thing. So it's really cool for a more chord progression-y type feel within modular, which is always difficult to find. I wanted one, never got one. I still want one, but I have no modular anymore, so the big sad. Maybe in the future. But check out DivKid's video on the Psyche by Instruo. Another one which actually just appeared today that I'm looking at for the first time. No, the second time. I did see something about it a while ago. Plinky by Thonk. Thonk being Brighton's best modular DIY store, supplying a good amount of Europe with DIY kits. We love them very much. This is a big old square. We've got jacks on each side, eight on each side, a screen, some encoders, and lots of little circular touch plates. And it says, a polyphonic touch synth specializing in melancholic sounds.
Oh.
Which... it's a prototype or concept phase, which is one of the little tags you get on Modular Grid. Eurorack or standalone, eight voices of digital quad unison sawtooth into eight low-pass gates, interesting call for a polysynth, seven modulation sources, including four LFOs per voice, sample and hold for every parameter, humanization, wave shaper, reverb, shimmer, two-tap delay, built-in sequencer with ARP and Euclidean rhythms. Oh, heck, I want one of these.
I just imagined that going through a ZVEX lo-fi junkie.
Yes.
Oh, my God, that's going to sound amazing.
Excellent. Actually, wow. Well, I'm going to keep an update on this because this looks really weird and cool, and it can be standalone, so I don't have to jump back in. It's weird looking, but I'm going to keep an eye out because that does intrigue me rather.
Any indications of how much it's going to cost?
Modular Grid says €199. But
yeah.
Who knows? Let's see if it's on Thonk's site while I'm doing the what happened there? While I'm doing the simultaneous Googling there, I think that's time to transition into one of our newer sections. You know what? It's time for Luke's Spacey Bit. This time, brought to you, recorded in advance from Stairwell Studios by Luke. So thank you very much for that one, Luke.
Stairwell Studios.
Yeah, well, that's what he said on the WhatsApp.
I know.
Stairwell Studios.
Did you see the picture?
I did. It looks very vibey. Nice and blue. Mood like. Oh, he's got.
Stairwell for heaven.
He's got some wine. Excellent. I mean, that's a recording studio. Wine, yeah. Blue light. Nice one.
I was stimulated by my request that he recorded his spacey bits somewhat distant from his really noisy computer.
Oh, of course. Yeah. The,
yeah, someone needs like a new like fan. A jet taking off.
Hello listeners, on this episode we continue our series of weekly space bulletins brought to you from the comfort of my hallway as we seek to improve our recording techniques in the wake of lockdown 2.0. It has been a tumultuous week for certain parts of the world. With a certain exchange of hats dominating the news, I thought I would share with you an update on a story far removed from earthly concerns, though not without its own mind-bending implications. Fast radio bursts, or FRBs, are transient radio pulses ranging in length from just a fraction of a millisecond up to a few milliseconds in total. They are a phenomenon of radio astronomy caused by some as yet not understood astrophysical process, and are therefore the subject of much speculation. To understand their power and significance, it is worth bearing in mind that the average FRB, if there is such a thing, signifies a release of energy equal to what our Sun outputs over the course of 3 days, crammed into just a fraction of a moment. Most of the FRBs that have been recorded are confirmed to be extragalactic in origin, so to put it bluntly, astronomically speaking, they are very, very loud indeed. Since the discovery of the first FRB in 2007, many subsequent sources have been recorded, most of which seem to repeat with a dissonant irregularity, as far as our limited observations can tell. One particular fast radio burst by the name of FRB180916, however, seems to pulse regularly and reliably at intervals of 16 days and 8 hours. So, what causes a fast radio burst to come into being? Well, even today, there are no generally accepted explanations from within the scientific community, although we can be reasonably certain that they must be the result of an enormous release of energy. One possibility is that they form part of the ejected energy and matter shot out during the collision of extremely dense objects, such as black holes, neutron stars, and other stellar bodies. Some FRBs have been observed coming from the location of known gamma ray bursts, possibly caused by such an event, lagging behind their more energetic electromagnetic cousins on their way through space. There is, of course, the possibility that they are artificial in origin, a cosmic exhaust plume or muzzle flash left by an intelligent species from further up the Kardashev scale than we are. Due to their short-lived nature, spotting and studying the precise origin point of an FRB is difficult for astronomers. Nevertheless, on the 28th of April 2020, a pair of millisecond bursts designated FRB200428 were detected in the same area of sky as a magnetar-class star from within the Milky Way. Magnetars are young neutron stars with a particularly intense set of magnetic fields. The theory goes that flares erupting from such stars would collide with previously ejected debris moving away from the star at a slower rate. This collision of new and old stellar debris would explosively emit energy including gamma, X-ray, and fast radio bursts. This is just one possibility, however, and more studies are required to determine why such occurrences are so rare and how the mechanics of the bursts are produced comes into it. What could be causing the stars to give off these sudden flares is a mystery, but it appears plausible that such powerful stellar bodies as magnetars could also be the source of FRBs from other galaxies and beyond. So, is it aliens? Well, probably not. Fans of Ian M. Banks' Culture series may have enjoyed imagining that FRBs were the detritus of distant Olympian space battles from novels like Accession or Consider Phlebas, but it appears that the universe has more mundane ideas. That said, I find it fascinating, and I hope you do too, that as we come to slowly understand the causes of these distant phenomena, that we also discover how reality is so much stranger and indeed scarier than fiction could even have suggested. As much as I enjoy my novels, the idea of a distant star exploding in a moment with enough force to rival the yearly output of our own sun is a humbling one, a reminder that nature is beautiful and uncaring in its majesty and brutality.
Thank you very much, Luke, for that spacey bit. Tune in next week for more space news and interesting science-y things not of this world. Which brings us to the last segment of the show, everybody, which we need a name for, of course. I've instantly forgotten what we agreed on earlier. Was it Entertainment Advisory Bureau? No, I don't know, man.
Sounds a bit official.
Yeah, too official. But we've run out of YouTube stuff, so I'm going to jump in with something just general musical, just an album that I really enjoy. This is going to be a band, funnily enough, Soul Wax, spelt as you would expect. Soul Wax, one word. This one, actually, one of the tunes was recommended to me by a really stunningly lovely man from a coffee shop that's local to us called Gary. I can't remember what we were talking about. It must have been music, but he thought I would like this album. He was absolutely right. From Dewey by Soul Wax. From Dewey. Dewey is D-E-E-W-E-E. That's a fun word to spell out loud, isn't it? Really cool stuff. They do... How many drummers do they have? At least two, and then multiple percussionists.
See, that's already super interesting.
And a lot of vintage synthesizers and a bit of vocals. It's really cool. It feels really organic and a smidge of the lo-fi in places. But it's just really interesting. Difficult to kind of pigeonhole it into a genre, and I can't be bothered to even try. But highlights for me, Master Planned, Is It Always Binary, and Do You Want to Get Into Trouble? Good fun stuff. Bonus points for the synth nerds among you if you can identify any of the synths used, because there's some big names in there, without having watched the YouTube videos first. But there's some really cool stuff, and the live videos, definitely worth a go. That will be my recommendation for the week. If you want a bit of tunes to chuck on for your commute, From Dewey by Soul Wax. 2017, that album. Good one. Who's next? Telmo's got a bit of a juicy one, so maybe we save that. Pete, what have you found in the YouTube list of hugeness?
The endless YouTube list. The bottomless YouTube list.
Before you do that, can you actually find us how many subscriptions you've got?
As I say, it's just slightly in excess of 200.
Ooh. So many.
So we've got plenty. This is a quick one. The channel is called Oates Studios. Two words, not one word. Sure. And basically, I'm not quite sure if it's showreel or what the purpose is, or whether it's just to get sort of clicks, although they haven't got masses. I mean, they're getting sort of some of the better ones. They've got 1.6 million views and so forth. No, this one here, 9.1 million views, so they do get quite a few.
Just a few.
So generally, on the whole, they're either special effects or computer graphics type of little short films. Some of them are more fantasy than others. Again, there's not a great deal on there, but they're all worth a watch. Some of them are actually one-offs, and some of them are kind of little series. So let's say they do a film with a sort of theme, and they'll have two, three, even four parts to them. And then other ones, they've got sort of a couple of ongoing ones. As I say, they're just generally, there's a couple of humorous ones, and the rest are sort of just general sci-fi type things, which obviously the computer graphics and special effects lean or very good at presenting that type of thing. So, yeah, so it's Oates Studios on YouTube.
Nice one, with a little bit of a bone hand looking logo there. I was saying it sounded a little bit like some of the stuff that Ian Hubert works on, but I don't think it is. I've been tackling Blender recently at work.
Okay.
So 3D modeling, 3D graphics, animation-y type software. Ian Hubert, a quick YouTube recommendation in there. He makes some really fun stuff. Lazy Tutorials with Ian Hubert, if you like your bit. I'll check out that Oates Studios thing. That sounds really cool. Thank you, Pete. Now, the juicy one, Telmo. Telmo, I've just called you juicy. I regret it.
I'm a bit of an orange myself.
I think you're more of a Satsuma, my man.
Oh, yes. Musical friends, what I have for you today is something that is straight out of 1965. The album is A Love Supreme by John Coltrane. This is my musical recommendation of the week. This is quite a groundbreaking album. Basically, it's a definite tone poem to music in general. It was his fifth recording studio, it was his fifth studio recording for the hip indie jazz label Impulse. And it was done in some sort of a response to Miles Davis' Modal Innovations a few years before. Well, quite a few years before, because it kind of started with A Kind of Blue. If you are a bit of a jazz nerd, you would know that A Kind of Blue is, it's more than a staple. It's the thriller of jazz music.
The thriller of jazz.
John Coltrane was basically, with this album, trying to pursue the sort of purity and expression of gratitude. There's this sense of higher power over his music. There's this influence, this spiritual influence over his music, and that is absolutely all over this album in particular. It's an album with four tracks: Acknowledgement, Resolution, Pursuance, and Psalm. Which is this last one in particular. It's more like a musical narration. He wrote a poem and he's playing the words of the poem, so he's not actually saying them, he's just playing them, which is quite an interesting concept. By 1962, Coltrane had developed quite a lot of different tonalities, and he kind of developed this Indian and Arabic scale way of playing, and he used all of this sort of tones to use in his music, and that's totally seen in this album. Obviously, tenor and soprano sax, as he's legendary known for. It's an incredible album.
If I could interrupt quickly.
Yeah.
Playing the words.
Mm.
How can you accomplish that?
Well,
without a voice synthesizer, which will sound terrible.
Mm. Well, there is a certain musicality to our words, to the way that we say things. And you, Ben, as a very prolific man, you would know that it's key to be able to say something in a certain way, in a certain context.
Saying it the wrong way in the wrong context, just for a laugh.
Exactly, anyway. Exactly. And that's where the more modern kind of jazz is leaning towards, meme music or meme jazz. It's taking a lot of inspiration from guys like John Coltrane. It's definitely a big, massive influence, because it brings all of this Indian and African sounds. And it puts it right in the path of soul and psychedelia of the 60s. The sort of influence that this album had in rockers like Carlos Santana, in the early 70s rock movement, it was so interesting to see the development of that from A Love Supreme. It's utterly uncompromising, and yet it's completely accessible.
I was just going to ask, what's the accessibility like for us mortals over here in the other cars?
There's loads of repetitions. So it's the album itself is based on repetitions.
Okay. Some themes.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got the sort of leitmotif that starts with A Love Supreme, the acknowledgement track, where it's just four note bass line tracks the bass line track that just repeats constantly. Then it is explored and mutilated and it's taken to haunted places. So it's this journey that Coltrane is taking you into his music, and he's using this sort of sounds awaken have a bit better understanding about your spiritual side and have a bit of an enlightenment in that sense. So it's really a perfect album.
Okay, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling evening, bean bags.
Grab a glass of wine.
Vinyl.
Yeah.
On vinyl, obviously, the best way. And yeah, bit of wine, maybe a whiskey if you're feeling adventurous.
Ooh.
Bean bags and let it wash over you. I think that's the kind of the listening experience you'd be after to really absorb that.
Couldn't say
what
any
do you
better.
Need to pay more attention.
Yeah,
sounds like an experience. And to be honest, I've not been listening to anything new at all recently. Been very stagnant in my playlists, and I'm a big fan of a great album. I listen the whole way through and just, you know, soak it in.
Yeah.
Especially when it's a properly crafted album that has a proper journey through it. So yeah. That could be a good one. You don't
it
have
is
to
an
have
experience.
That on vinyl, do you?
You have to. I don't actually.
Damn.
But you can find
it.
Yeah. Oh, that would be great. But you can totally find this all over the world. I mean, it's a staple of jazz music. You need to be able to open your mind for it, because it's not necessarily beautiful. Mm. You know, it can be raw and quite aggressive sometimes, and especially Coltrane's tone in the sax. It's just so in your face. It's so well recorded. But I think anyone can take something out of this.
Excellent. Well, I will report back if and when. Please do nag me about this, because I genuinely do want to crack on with some proper albums. Thank you very much, Telmo.
No worries. Thank you.
We look forward to more, especially when we deploy the jingle, which maybe in the in season two, Rack Addict season two. Of course, this was episode 48. We're not far off the big year, and we haven't really. We haven't skipped an episode at all, have we, Pete?
No, not at all.
You guys have been going at it.
Made it through. Even through the lockdown, we've improvised, we have adapted, we have overcome Bear Grylls. Is that Ray Mears? Well, improvise, adapt, overcome. Either way, we're still going, and we're still really enjoying making podcasts for you. We do hope you listen to them, enjoy them, and do get in touch if you've got any questions, feedback, comments. Just want to engage the small Rack Addicts community, perhaps. Rack Addicts UK on Facebook, of course. That's where you can find us. But more importantly, you can find us on your favourite podcast listening platforms. Spotify for me, personally, because I'm lazy and I don't go anywhere else. But we'll catch you next week. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.